You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We are still in our series right now. We are wrapping up our Southern Baptist Convention series.
Yeah,
you were just at the convention. And so
I was literally just at the convention.
Yeah, we're pre-recording this, as we often do. And I was there. I got back not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's right. You were in the room where it happened.
I was in the room.
I was online where I was watching the room where it happened. And all of the random people who step up to the microphone during the SBC.
All the random people.
Yeah. I was able to watch a little bit of it. And so we had some questions just kind of maybe from the outsider view looking in. That doesn't have like a lot of experience with it.
You're slowly becoming an insider.
You're
quickly becoming an insider, Kelly.
That's funny. It's a lot to understand. So I'm like trying to get all the terminology.
That is a great way to describe it, because if you've been around Southern Baptist Convention, if you've grown up in it, you're like, yeah, it just makes perfect sense. And then you actually try to explain it to someone and you realize it doesn't really make a lot of sense in words. And so you pull out diagrams and then it gets a little bit more confusing and layers upon who reports to whom and who's responsible, and it's not fully a denomination, you know, all those things.
So I guess kind of like to start off, just overall questions, our church is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So why do churches, like what's the appeal, or what's the reasoning that people do that? Why don't they just donate, or if they're interested in those two organizations that are a part of them, like what's the reason?
Wow, that's probably an episode in itself.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are Baptist, including in our church, who I think they have a hard time making a distinction between being a Christian and being a Baptist. It's so much a part of their faith and how they express their faith that they probably don't even see it as, this is a preference. This is a choice in which we choose to express our faith. But ultimately, I would say that probably the oversimplification of this is that we are Baptists because we see being a part of the Southern Baptist Convention as a very effective way of carrying out the calls of Christ on our church, specifically to the nations, you know, cooperating for church planning and mission sending. I said, most are more fixated on the missions sending piece, I would say.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but and with doctrinal alignment, I should say doctrinal alignment.
For sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, will say that, like, oh, is it a Southern Baptist church or independent Baptist?
Because there's a lot of different flavors of Baptists. That's right.
Yes.
For sure.
Most of them taste a little bitter.
They get a little more sweet.
Yeah, for sure. We have some sweet Baptists around here, though.
Well, I guess the last episode we talked about some of the things that were upcoming, like you were Zooming, you were there.
Yeah.
But then you went through the whole conference, and so we're going to dive in a little bit more about the different resolutions and bylaws. So I wanted to start out and see, because this was confusion I had.
Okay.
What is the difference between a resolution and a bylaw?
So bylaws are really the governing documents, the legal documents. I mean, we as a church, we have a constitution and bylaws. So the bylaws are basically, how does the Southern Baptist Convention govern itself? Mm-hmm. The rules that apply. And then resolutions, and so there are motions made to maybe amend bylaws or change bylaws. There's even been motions to amend the Baptist faith and message. Then there's resolutions, and resolutions are basically, in James's words, pointless.
Pointless, yes.
But resolutions—
I will go on the record.
Resolutions are basically just, hey, we want to say that we think this, period. And I mean, the first resolution every year is always we resolve to say thanks to the city that's hosting us. I mean, and that's fine. But then there's sometimes they're people who you submit resolutions to the committee. They bring them to the convention, the ones they believe are, I guess, worthy to be brought to the convention. And then they are voted on.
I can't remember the exact number, but it's like somewhere between 50 and 100 resolutions.
I'm sure.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so they vary I want to say importance, but maybe relevance on issues. And they're basically people submit them wanting—
and intelligence.
Yeah, some of them probably. they're submitted for people who want the convention to affirm or denounce something.
Or some things, or as maybe, you can tell by the level of detail.
Maybe it's, and they usually are related to cultural issues.
Yes.
Okay.
So, not always, but often.
So, there
And I do want to say, I think it's a huge waste of time. And no matter what we resolve, New York Times is just going to say it the way they think. And,
you know, this is true.
It's like, it's like we get, there's like this, like, you know, 400 word resolution, and the New York Times is like, Baptists hate gay people.
That's going to be they're going to report whatever.
So it's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
Baptists don't like the puppies.
Well, I mean, it really gets spun. I mean, that's kind of funny, but it is that way. Like, if someone were to present a resolution that Baptists affirm the dignity of animal life, like in a very generic like way that we should care for all of creation, and it wasn't passed for some reason because someone didn't like the wording or it went too far, that would be the headline. Baptists say it's okay to kill your animals.
Yeah, like, and what's interesting is not everybody. Like, we're voting, and say there's 6,000 people voting, well, 4,500 vote for it. Yeah. So it's like 4,500 of these Baptists think this, not all of them. And they're not all of the Baptists.
Right.
Right. That's true.
And every time there's one related to, you know, pro-life causes, there's a group there that's like, we have to add any woman who has an abortion deserves to go to jail and die.
They add statements like that. They really? They do.
I was a little less tactful, but that's pretty much, kind of they're murderers. They want to like put that in there, and it always gets voted down, and we always discuss it for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So this is just a waste of time. Yeah. No more resolutions. I'm getting closer and closer in my old, I am getting closer and closer in my old age to figuring out how I can get rid of resolutions.
This convention aged you a few years.
Yes, it did.
But I think too, I mean, this points to how Southern Baptist churches really govern themselves. Each church is autonomous, and so as a result, I mean, the convention is designed kind of like our business meetings, where anybody who is a member has access to say what they want to say or ask what they want to ask. So that is a healthy thing, but the by and large, but the bigger you get, the more difficult it gets.
And so
imagine the convention where there's 10,000 people, and then there are the people who are always going to run to the microphone. So
No matter what. It's their moment to shine. So well, if you pull up any news article that you guys talked about, they kind of pulled out, I think it was four different main resolutions, a change to a bylaw that you guys went over, so we were going to kind of break those down a little bit. So the first thing was there was a request to make a bylaw change, and this was to ban women from any type of elder or pastoral role, and it did not pass.
Right.
So kind of surprising, I guess, to me. You just – didn't even think that was an option, honestly, in a Baptist church. But I guess not. The one thing I did want to point out, though, because it was kind of a confusion I had, was that years ago there was a church that was kind of like disavowed, I guess, or kicked out, Saddleback, for the same things. And so they want to put this – is this something because the Baptist faith and message is saying one thing, and then they want it to be part of the bylaws of the Southern Baptist Convention. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so in 2000, the Baptist Faith and Message was revised, and it was understood by most Baptists at that time that what they meant, and it says it's qualified by men in the Baptist Faith and Message, that, that most churches believe pastors are reserved for the role of men because of Scripture. Well, over time, more and more churches had a woman in some kind of role which they called pastor. So, like, children's pastor or connections pastor or whatever. Well, nobody really did a whole lot about that. I mean, they occasionally bickered about that and all that. But then in the last few years, with the rise of egalitarian churches, we have seen more churches where they would say women can teach on Sunday morning. They can be in a teaching pastor role. It was clarified in the Baptist Faith and Message a couple years ago that any kind of pastor or elder or overseer is reserved for men, but that's not in the bylaws. And so not every Baptist church fully agrees with everything in the Baptist Faith and Message. So the bylaw change would make it very clear to the credentials committee and the executive committee that any church that has a woman in any role of pastor has to be, should be disfellowshipped or correct themselves. So it just gives some weight to that. It has to get 2/3 vote support. It did not get 2/3. It did get the majority, 60%. So the question might be like, well, why would 40% vote no?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's kind of complicated.
A lot of reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I think many reasons. I think at the end of the day, a lot of people realize we do have a lot of Baptist churches who may not be – I've said this before over and over again. We don't call any woman pastor in any role because we don't see that as just senior pastor. It doesn't matter. Anyway, let me get to the point. But there are a lot of churches that do have a woman in a children's pastor role. And while I may disagree with what they're doing, she's not really functioning as a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so
– they just say that, yeah.
So exactly. I think they're wrong in assigning that role, but I'm not so like – you got to get out right now, you know. Yeah. So I would say some people share that sentiment with me, but I mean, I was really fine with whatever. At this point, I'm really fine with whatever.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes back to autonomy of the church, and we've talked about this in past episodes. How different churches, because they're autonomous, there's not the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't give every Southern Baptist church a guide on what to call your staff in their roles. And so there are these, I think, roles where maybe a man was in them, and this is because of tradition at a church, because a man was in this role, they called him Pastor Tom. Mm-hmm. Well, they may have filled that position with a woman, and then they're like, well, is this – and she's kind of doing the same job. When what James said, the truth is he really probably shouldn't have been called pastor to begin with, what he was doing.
Exactly.
Or what the role was. Exactly. And now you have a woman who's doing the same job. Why shouldn't – and there's actually merit in that argument, because we shouldn't use different titles for men and women doing the same job in terms of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a piece of it.
Yeah, it's just way more nuanced. Like people would say that there should be elders in a church and plurality of elders, and those are the pastors, and there's other churches that don't think that church should have a plurality of elders, and what the elder's responsibility is as compared to the deacons. Those are just debated things. Mm-hmm. And while I may think there are people who are wrong within the SBC, I feel like it's a little arrogant for me to impose my view on 50,000 churches.
Right, yeah.
Now, the argument to that is, well, where is the line, right? And I don't know. And so that's why I do see the concern of not doing something from the people who are for the Sanchezism.
Yeah.
I do see the concern.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, again, and I think we talked about this last week, because New Spring Church had a female teaching pastor, and they were not removed by the credentials committee. So 95% of those Baptists would not be okay with a female teaching pastor at a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, well, our current mechanism actually isn't working, so we need to make it stronger. And so that's a valid point. This will not go away.
Right.
Yep. It'll be back next year.
Next year.
And I'm thankful we're in a church that is, I mean, in a denomination that is saying, well, what does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What feels good, culture, what's working in culture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The next thing was, there was a resolution to, I guess, kind of try to, I don't know, overturn a ban on homosexuality within marriage. And when I read that, I was just like, what does that even mean? Because kind of the Supreme Court, you know, dealt with that. Like, are they just saying this is our publicity, our stance on it, or are they wanting to put more funds into, you know, making policies to help?
Because resolutions aren't binding.
Okay, so it is.
But and we've said something like this many times before.
Okay,
I think the spirit of it is, as SBC, we want to remind people we are not okay with the culture on this issue, and we should want gay marriage to be illegal. That I'm just telling you what the SBC is saying. And there was other things related to gender as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of saying the same thing we've said, but in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a reiteration of what has already been decided. Just basically, we are affirming that this is what we believe.
Did they do that last year?
Be it resolved.
Not last year, but yeah, probably not that long ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Be it resolved that our minds haven't changed.
We haven't changed. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Moving right along. There's another resolution. To embrace marriage and encourage childbearing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think where this is coming from, and going back to resolutions and trying to address cultural, you know, issues, mm-hmm. and that, whether you call this an issue or not, I'm not sure. But what they're trying to do, I think, with this is there is, you know, as culture moves on, there is certainly of late of people having children later in life and also having smaller families and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and so there, I mean, you know these groups in the Christian faith mm-hmm. and that really promote, like, yeah. not promote, but they, like, have as many children as mm-hmm. possible, and the large family movement, I think what somebody coined it one time. And so I think what this is saying is, like, hey, we want to remind people, like, the culture may say children are inconvenient, mm-hmm. but the Bible says we're blessed. I think that's the heart behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's really just affirming, hey, churches, we should be reminded. Tell people it's okay. Like, you should be fruitful and multiply.
This is, again, another reason resolutions are not good.
But
so do you remember, like, when we did the sermon on James 1:27, sermon series on James 1:27, we hadn't been here that long.
Yeah,
I talked about abortion one mm-hmm. week, and I actually, it was kind of long, mm-hmm. and I started off with, all my sermons are long, but I started off, actually.
They're not, shorter.
I was going to say, not really.
I know, after you and Jacob preached, I'm like, oh, I'm getting shorter, but anyway. the reality is, I started off with, like, my story of when I put an end to Christy and I having biological children. And I just shared, like, that wasn't informed by Scripture at all. And I kind of tried to get to the point of, like, how much we as a society are just taking our cues from culture when it mm-hmm. comes to children, and ultimately got to abortion really has flown from that. But I was the pastor of that church and talked about it for 45 minutes, and it was still kind of sensitive to some people. Mm-hmm. A tweet.
Yeah.
Like, just, last year's with IVF, which I think there was some good behind it, but, like, it's a glorified tweet that it doesn't give context or sensitivity or tone.
Yeah.
It's just bad. So like, the content of this resolution is fine, mm-hmm. but it's just not received. That's what I'm saying about resolution, just, is not received. Like, there is a cultural trend amongst Christians to be like, we're going to have two incomes and we're not going to let kids interfere with that. And mm-hmm. And that I'm not saying you work. I'm not saying there's any problem with that. I think Christy works, like, mm-hmm. but there's cultural trends that are antithetical to what the Bible says. However, just saying, hey, that's antithetical to what the Bible says doesn't, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You know,
and why?
And then they throw in, like, so they throw in that with, like, the chemical abortion pill, and it's like,
wait, what?
Like, I did the puppy dog turn in my head of, like, it's all kind of in there together, right? Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. it's just, why? Like, if we were mm-hmm. just, it's almost kind of like Boggy Talk.
Yeah.
I mean, just, we're just, like, fired off.
Yeah. But, and then you're just like, oh, and put this in there too because of this. And put this in there because of this. And you're right. It doesn't hit, like, the reason someone may not, or, you know, and mm-hmm. it kind of is a blanket where there needs to be conversation and grace.
Yeah.
You know, because also, what if someone did make a decision regarding their family that wasn't according to what we got,
right?
How do you redeem that? And the resolutions don't redeem. They're just mm-hmm. like, you know, I think that's, it's just kind of a talking point almost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that.
And there does seem to be a difference, like, okay, we're going to encourage this, but then making, I mean, in my mind, some of that is strongly preference-based. And I think that you could make an argument for both sides.
Yeah,
I mean, especially people that are in the mission field or people that are, you know, you think about people that were not married and the work that they did, because it would be more difficult for them to have families than that.
And then you think about resolutions, and you can't in a resolution because of the formatting. And,
right. Yeah,
but also, these people are okay.
Right.
But also, the exception is. And
I can't even. It's hard for me to do that in a sermon.
That's right.
I told you guys before. I'm like, I feel like I have to say so many buts.
Yeah, we have to nuance everything or give so much context.
There'll be that one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think the ultimate heart is that there's a dangerous cultural trend towards not valuing family, mm-hmm. and they want to make sure, and to the point of Christians using the abortion pill, mm-hmm. and they want to say, hey, this is not okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the heart of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. The next thing was the ERLC. And I was curious, what are all they responsible for?
What are they responsible for, Justin?
Well, I figured that question may come up. So basically, they are commissioned to assist Southern Baptist churches.
They are commissioned.
They are an entity commissioned to help them understand the moral demands of the gospel and apply those principles. They're to promote religious liberty, to work protect religious liberty on behalf of Southern Baptists. And more on that, engage the culture, bring the gospel to bear on issues of moral importance in society, advocating on issues such as life, religious liberty, marriage and family, and human dignity, serve as a resource to churches, and then represent Southern Baptist churches, communicate and advocate for the ethical positions of the Southern Baptist Convention to the public and to public officials.
Mm. Okay. So in my mind, I'm seeing all these resolutions seem very policy kind of based or, you know, cultural. So why do people want to ban them? Or I don't know, ban's not
well,
the right word, but just get rid of them.
Currently?
Yeah.
Because the group that's moving to ban them, I would say probably for the most part thinks the ERLC, not everybody who voted, but the group that is like pushing this thinks that ERLC leadership for the last decade or so has been too left-leaning. And that they don't accurately represent the majority of Southern Baptists in what they say, what they lobby for. And so they're tired of that. And so they want them out.
and then they would recreate something.
Maybe. I mean, that was one of the arguments that's been out there is like, in order to build it, make it what we want it to be, we have to tear it down first. You know, and so, yes, I think there is a desire. I listened to some folks on the podcast talk about that who are definitely in that camp of tear it down so we can make it what we think it should be.
Yeah.
Then again, it's what they think it should be. And I think the biggest challenge with this, the biggest overarching challenge is that they are called to or commissioned to represent, you know, specifically on life, religious liberty, marriage, family, and human dignity. So those are actually pretty, besides marriage and family, I would say, the others are pretty broad categories. And so there's disagreement about the types of things that they should be advocating for. But also, I mean, you get more than one person in a room and you're going to have differences of opinion when it comes to politics. And so are they representing... there's questions about should they only represent things that Southern Baptists have officially voted on or made a resolution about and say this is our stance.
Which sounds great, but things just happen so fast.
Yeah. There's no way you can keep up with that.
Until the next convention.
Yes.
You know, they're just, we're not going to talk
it
about
would be,
that.
That would actually make it very ineffective regardless of what you wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And so there's, like James said, there have been people who thought they are too left-leaning, and then that is from a camp that wants it to be something completely different. And I think one of the...
And there's a lot of suspicion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of what are they actually doing. And of course, you're in Washington. I mean, they're working with politicians, and so that adds a level of suspicion no matter what.
Yeah, and I want to be careful because I don't really know concretely anything. But, you know, Russell Moore, who was the president of it, who I, especially when he was first in that role, even when he was writing before that, was a professor at Southern, I had a lot of respect for, agree with a lot of the content he's put out. He is more on the conservative family stuff that we're talking about. But then kind of in the whole sex abuse stuff, he and the executive committee were really the kind of pinpoint against each other. And then, you know, Dr. Moore has just said some things that are, in my opinion, unfortunate. And they've led people to believe, hey, there was a power agenda here. And as far as to say George Soros funded some of what the ERLC was doing, I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
I mean, there might have been some indirect things. Certainly the ERLC is not taking a check from George Soros.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes those waters get muddy, you know, period. But just there's a high degree of suspicion there. You know, you got that extreme camp. You got the group that's like, we got to keep it and maybe we can fix it or maybe we love everything they're doing. I'm kind of in the middle where it's like, if it doesn't change, they're just creating more division.
Yeah.
And so how do you figure out a way to maximize what they do that's good and really silence them? because I mean, back to the tweet thing, you know, it's kind of the resolution thing. It's kind of similar.
Yeah. So. Okay.
But it didn't get abolished.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know Willie Rice and respect Willie Rice. He was the one that made the motion. I do think ultimately he was hoping, I think, it's voted to abolish means now they have 1 year. Because if it gets voted again, they're out. So they've got to make drastic changes or they'll be gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do think he was hoping that the vote to abolish this year will give them a clock to figure out how to reset
things. And I would say
maybe they'll do that anyway.
I think that's kind of like the sentiment is that the people who were maybe behind this aren't as much of like tear down the RLC. Some are, yeah, some absolutely. Are. But like I think a lot really are like this is the way to get them to change to, you know, what we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there anything else that really stood out in your mind?
I was floored that there wasn't discussion about the budget, the $3 million application of the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, that was wow. Hmm. And then the other kind of newsworthy things, there were people who were essentially want the SBC to apologize to a former chairman, Mike Stone, that got shot down. What's interesting is it would have been referred to the executive committee to investigate, but the guy really wanted it to be discussed. And then it got shot down. So now the executive committee doesn't have to do anything with it. I would say that probably other big thing and probably the most talked about thing after the convention now, besides the Sanchez Amendment, well, this is really the Sanchez Amendment, is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
In the business and financial plan, a guy was trying to get 990 forms produced. I thought that was going to be pretty split
because
he made an amendment to the business financial plan to include that. But when we actually voted on his amendment, it was probably 20% voted to amend it and 80% not. I thought it was going to be ballot vote. Mm-hmm. But it was clear. I mean, sometimes when they say it's clear, I'm like, no, it's not. Yeah. But it was very clear.
Yeah.
And then so when Dr. Orge comes up during the Sanchez amendment and he's saying, hey, we are going to have to realize there could be legal risk if we put this in the bylaws. People are like, no, and they're just trying to hide things. I just think some of the talk about legal concerns are from people who have been involved in the SBC leadership for 5 to 10 years who are just really worn down by the number of lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, while they may be hypersensitive, we live in a very sue-happy culture now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so if we start kicking out churches because they have a female pastor, and so let's just choose a church that has a female children's pastor, you know, and they get kicked out of the SBC, and now all of a sudden everyone in their community thinks that church is liberal. Mm-hmm. We're going to the church down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That sets up for a lawsuit from that church on the credentials committee. Mm-hmm. That could really happen. I'm not saying it will, but we need to figure that out before we start enforcing
this. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's real stuff. So I would just say that, you know, I do think that we're going to have to figure out in a increasing, this is where we started on this, an increasingly tribalistic world. We are going to have to figure out how to cooperate together.
Yeah.
Past the different.
Yeah. Everybody's like, we're headed in the right direction. I think maybe, but I don't know how much of that is just, we aren't where we were 5 years ago. You know.
This is true.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, thanks for going and getting all the information
Thank
for
you,
us.
You and Steve for representing our church.
We had as delegates. Flights.
Yeah.
Ooh, it was a doozy.
It was a mess. Well, if you have any other questions, we can certainly still answer them in upcoming episodes and things like that. So you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys.
We're taking a break, right?
Taking a break.
Yeah, so a long break.
That's right. We'll be back in August.
Yep. So we'll see you in August. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.